To continue with a reading that we will do together, and then I want to read something to you for you to digest, and then a couple of statements for you to consider. Okay, that's just the beginning, by the way. All right, Luke 23:32-38. Let's read these words together collectively, shall we? Two others were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him.
And when they came to the place
called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, something for you to digest. Truth is evaded or concealed when it is inconvenient. Criminalized when it is insulting. Denied when it contradicts religious beliefs. Tampered with when it is in conflict with ethnic or national self-esteem. Ignored when it is irritating to the powerful. Truth is always potentially a stumbling block because it is of the nature of truth that it is what it is, regardless of anyone's wishes. Just digest that for a moment, will you? And then to consider this statement. In the light of that, all truth is God's truth. Would it make any difference to you if you knew that that first statement, the longer one, was written by two atheists, and that one is written by a 4th century bishop? Does it make any difference? You're not quite sure, are you? Well, let me tell you this, it doesn't make any difference at all. Because if all truth is God's truth, even atheists can tell the truth from time to time. And then there's this one. This is the King of the Jews. Written by a Roman provincial governor called Pontius Pilate. It is true as far as it goes, because there was an awful lot more to follow on. Like, this is Jesus, the King of the world. But does it make it less true because it was a Roman provincial governor? Pilate had faced a lot of dissent and opposition in his time for all sorts of things. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." In their attempt to denigrate Jesus, it evokes from this Roman governor the closest he ever came to acknowledging the truth. "What I've written, I've written." The whole day, the whole week, the whole time of Jesus' life, vested interest had conspired to both denigrate him and ultimately to annihilate him. Why? Because his truth was irritating to the Romans. It was inconvenient to the Jewish authorities. And ever since then, a lot of people have tried to evade it, criminalize it, tamper with it, deny it, or ignore it. The problem is it won't go away, because truth is what it is. In many parts of the world, that is commonplace, where it is inconvenient to the powerful, particularly. Because there are those who, on choosing to believe the truth, find out that believing in Jesus is a cost which most of us here may never have to face. One of the booklets that I use frequently, I use every day actually, is a booklet from Open Doors. If you're familiar with Open Doors, it was begun a long time ago, and it particularly ministers to people who are within the persecuted church. And this is its world watch list. There are 76 places throughout the world where it is dangerous to be a Christian. There are 50 where it is extremely dangerous to be a Christian. Where truth is patently evaded or concealed because it challenges the powerful. And we have some weird, powerful agendas and regimes in this world. Because the emperors and the chief priests of today, of our totalitarian states, will not contemplate or tolerate any questioning of their ideologies. And one person is enough to send them into fits of apoplexy. Why? Because the very existence of someone who believes differently, especially if it is a Christian, is viewed to be a threat and provokes quite a disproportionate reaction. I just want to mention a couple of them this morning. This is Saha. She's from Iran, and if you have watched the news over the past few weeks, you will know the problems that are going on there caused, and I say this completely respectfully, by women. She was formerly a Muslim. Frowned upon doesn't even begin to describe her dilemma. Iran is the eighth most dangerous place in the world to be a believer. Conversion is illegal. If you're born there, you're a Muslim, and that is it. If you convert, then you are charged with being a threat to national security. One person considered to be a threat to national security. She was thrown out by her family. She was disowned. And she faces the possibility of imprisonment and death. And added to that, of course, her gender makes things even worse, because women have no rights at all. They are the target of abuse. She says this: for more than 20 years, Saha tried to find truth in the Muslim faith. Then one day, everything changed. Her sister-in-law gave her a Bible. I'm not going to go into the detail of what occurred following that, but just leave it to your imagination that something changed in this woman that threatened her very life. But she continued with it. The fourth most dangerous place is Eritrea. The gentleman I'm going to quote is called Peter, though that's not his real name, and you'll understand that for obvious reasons. He says, "To live for Christ is something I have consciously chosen to do. Every day I choose to participate in this walk, knowing what trials await me. Therefore, I look to Jesus, who has faced far greater trials. They can't take him away from us. They can make our lives difficult, but they can't take away the truth. As inconvenient as that truth is, they can do nothing about it. And this they know, and this is what makes them so scared. Let us return from Iran, from Eritrea, to here. There is a very profound truth that we sing in one of the lines in one of our current hymns. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Messiah still and all alone. That is one of the most profound truths we ever sing. He continues, I know, that on the third break of dawn the Son of Heaven rose again, but it begins here. Messiah still and all alone in the dark of the tomb. The truth is that he is what he is. And if that's not true, then nothing else is true either, and we are completely wasting our time. We're deluded. But I remind you of what those two atheistic philosophers wrote. Truth is what it is, regardless of anyone's wishes. He is what he is, regardless of what anybody else would make of him. Betrayed and arrested, but he is Messiah still. Deserted and betrayed, but he is Messiah still. Beaten, tried, crucified, but he is Messiah still. Sealed alone in a darkened tomb where nobody sees and nobody knows, but he is, even in there, Messiah still. And that is God's truth.